This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast in True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, counsel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Could you please tell the jurors your first and last name?
Yes. First name's Dan, last name's Lawler.
And where are you employed?
With the Massachusetts State Police.
What's your rank with the State Police?
Sergeant.
And how long have you worked for the State Police?
9 years.
At some point, did you work in an assignment with the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office as part of the State Police Detectives Unit?
Yes.
And how long were you with the Plymouth County DA's Office State Police Detectives Unit?
From March 2021 until June 2025.
I'm going to draw your attention back to January of 2023. Do you recall going out or responding to an incident that occurred in Duxbury?
Yes.
And the incident occurred at 47 Summer Street in Duxbury?
Yes.
And you're aware that that involved a death investigation where two children had been declared deceased, and at the time there was another child that was being treated at the hospital?
Yes.
What were you asked to do, or what was the first thing you did in relation to this investigation?
I responded to the South Shore Hospital in Weymouth.
And why did you go there?
I was advised by my supervisor to respond.
Okay. And were you aware that a woman by the name of Lindsay Clancy had been transported there to South Shore Hospital?
Yes.
And when you arrived at South Shore Hospital, was a Duxbury police detective already on scene?
Yes.
And do you recall who that was?
Detective Matthew.
Now, when you, meaning the State Police Detectives Unit, are involved in an investigation, is it common that you would utilize the services of the Crime Scene Services section of the State Police?
Yes.
And the Crime Scene Response Unit?
Yes.
And in this case, did members of those two units respond as well to the South Shore Hospital at the time that you were there?
Yes.
Do you recall who from the Crime Scene Services and the response unit responded?
Chemist Maureen Hartnett and Trooper Roastoffers.
Did you have the occasion to observe Lindsay Clancy at the South Shore Hospital?
Yes.
And she was in the emergency department, correct?
Correct.
And was she able to speak, or was she intubated?
She was unable to speak.
Did you observe her to have medical equipment and being treated while you were there?
She had medical equipment attached to her person, yes.
And did you observe her to have injuries, visible injuries?
Yes.
At the South Shore Hospital, in addition to speaking to Detective Mafia and assessing Lindsay Clancy, did you do or serve anything on the hospital themselves?
Yes.
What did you do?
A preservation notice.
And what is a preservation notice?
The preservation notice is to preserve the defendant's urine and blood.
And you provide that to staff at the hospital to ensure that the blood is saved unless and until a warrant is obtained for that material?
Correct.
And in addition to serving the preservation order, did you collect some items that were removed from medical staff that were on Lindsay Clancy, the defendant?
Yes.
What did you collect, or what did they provide you?
It was her clothing and wedding ring and wedding band.
If I may approach the witness. Yes.
Well, she's putting her gloves on. I have no objection to any of this, Chair.
Okay. All right. No.
As far as, Sergeant Lawler, as far as the items collected, when they're received from the hospital staff, what do you guys do with them?
So it goes, originally went to Detective Mafia from Duxbury PD, then it went to me, and then it was documented by Trooper Soffers, and then some of it will go to the office, or will go to the crime lab. In this case, went to the crime lab.
Okay. But as the state police trooper on scene, the investigator on scene, you at some point retain custody of the item.
Correct.
And I'm just showing you a paper bag. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
And is this the bags that generally the detectives unit or crime scene uses to put particular pieces of evidence inside of it?
Yes.
Since I just struggled to put the gloves on, I'm just going to show you the item if that's okay. Showing you one item. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
What do you know this item to be?
Not sure.
Is it a piece of clothing that you obtained from the hospital?
Yes.
Does it appear to be a woman's tank top?
Yes.
Right. And are you able to observe some staining on the front? Looking close.
Yes.
And again, it's cut down the middle.
Correct.
This is how it was received from the hospital.
Yes.
I would move to the tank top as the next exhibit.
All right, that may be admitted.
Exhibit 223.
Thank you.
Showing you another item. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
And what are these?
Jeans.
And these were also cut in, off the defendant and received by the medical staff at Social Hospital?
Yes.
And on these jeans, you see a little bit of staining on the front?
Yes.
I would move to admit these as the next exhibit.
That may be admitted.
214.
Thank you.
Just showing one more item. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
Appears to be a woman's bra, correct?
Correct.
Cut down the middle?
Yes.
And it has some staining in the front, in the middle where the cuts are?
Correct.
And is this an item that was collected that was on Lindsay Clancy's body on January 24th, 2023?
Yes.
Move to admit this.
That may be admitted.
It's 225.
All right, thank you.
You indicated there was also some rings that were collected, correct?
Correct.
And eventually these items were then taken by forensic scientist Hartnett, and eventually they get returned to the State Police Detectives Unit, in your experience. Is that fair to say?
Fair to say.
Now, in addition to going to the South Shore Hospital on January 24th, 2023, did you go to any other hospitals?
Yes.
Which hospital did you go to?
Boston Children's Hospital.
And why did you go there?
I was advised to go there by my supervisor.
Okay. And did you learn that one of the children, Callan Clancy, had been transported to the Boston Children's Hospital?
Yes.
And were you there to just obtain what his current status was at that time?
Yes.
And the time that you were there at the Boston Children's on January 24th, fair to say he was still alive but noted to be in critical condition?
Yes.
Now, in the early morning hours of January 25th of 2023, were you aware that a search warrant was obtained for the home of 47 Summer Street in Duxbury?
Yes.
And in your time with the State Police Detectives Unit and during that time in January of 2023, how did you guys approach the execution of a search warrant?
So the house would have been frozen pending the search warrant being signed. Once it's signed, we begin the execution, and crime scene would document the residents inside and outside before we would go in.
Okay, so when crime scene goes in and they document, you're familiar, they use photographs and video, right?
Correct.
And once they've gone through and documented the scene as it was secured, do you, as part of the detectives unit team, then go in the house to begin search?
Yes.
And fair to say, there are a lot of hands on deck during something like this?
Correct.
And in this instance, the detectives unit was searching the entire home at 47 Summer Street, including three floors, basement, first floor, second floor, as well as any vehicles that were on the property?
Correct.
And in addition to people or troopers with the detectors unit, were there other local law enforcement also assisting?
Yes.
And what was your role that night or that morning in the execution of the warrant?
I was the evidence officer.
And what does that mean?
I document evidence that is located by investigators during the search warrant.
And so at that time period, when you're executing a search warrant and searching a place like a home, is the information that you know at that point what guides the search?
Yes.
So you don't know what you're looking for unless you know what happened, right?
Correct.
So in this circumstance, fair to say the state police had limited information about what had actually transpired in that house?
Correct.
But each and every room was searched, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, yes.
And your role was just to document items that were going to be collected and returned to the state police detectives unit?
To document items that would be collected and either go back to the state police detectives unit or to the crime lab.
And fair to say, when the crime lab takes items back to the lab, they have an entirely different process on how to monitor, track them, and inventory the items, correct?
Correct.
So in this particular warrant execution, did you engage in the search?
Yes.
And you said you documented what other members of the group found and located where they located it, correct?
Correct.
And so you, as the evidence officer, were aware that Trooper Rabbit located some prescription pill bottles in the kitchen that morning, correct?
Correct.
And so as the evidence officer, were you responsible for kind of keeping custody of those bottles?
Correct.
At some later point, after those bottles were photographed and collected, did you inventory those bottles?
Yes.
I'm going to just show you what's been marked as Exhibit 155, if I may approach the witness.
Me.
So, Sergeant, just showing you this bag here. It's already been marked, Exhibit 155. I'm going to show you four pill bottles. And you could take a look at them. Do they look familiar to you?
Yes.
So the first one I'm looking at is labeled Trazodone. And as far as how you inventory these, what do you do when you inventory them?
Just count them.
Okay. So do you also review the information on the label as to what should be in the bottle or what the original prescription was?
Yes.
So as far as the Trazodone, it says filled on January 12th, 2023, with 30 in it. And so you counted to determine how many were left, right?
Correct.
And so fair to say there were 20 remaining in this bottle when you inventoried it.
Correct.
The diazepam, 5 milligrams, date filled January 9th of 2023, with 14 as the quantity, you counted what was in this bottle?
Correct.
And there's 2.5 left in there, correct?
Correct.
And diazepam, 2 milligrams, date filled January 16th, 2023. It has 3 listed on there, right? In type?
Yes.
But there appears to be like a pink mark through it.
Correct.
Did you put that pink mark on there?
No.
Would that have been there when the bottle was seized?
It could have been.
Okay. But regardless of how many it said were supposed to, were the quantity, you counted how many were actually in this bottle.
Correct.
And fair to say there were 9.5 remaining in that bottle.
Correct.
And the last one, amitriptyline, 10 milligrams. It says date filled January 16th, 2023, quantity 30. And you counted how many were left in this bottle as well?
Correct.
And there were 22 in this bottle?
Correct.
And you documented that as this was put into evidence in the state police?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you search in the upstairs master bedroom of the house during the search warrant?
Yes, I assisted with the search.
Did you locate anything that you documented or collected to take back to the state police?
Yes.
In the master bedroom?
Yes.
Okay. What did you locate?
I believe it was a baby monitor and a Google Nest camera.
Okay. Did you observe the room, the master bedroom?
Yes.
And did you search in a nightstand that was next to the bed?
I don't recall searching on a nightstand next to the bed.
Were there other investigators that were also in the room searching other areas of the bedroom?
Yes.
And as far as any additional work you did on this particular investigation, again, fair to say the detective unit works as a team and divides up work and for follow-up.
Correct.
And you participated in some follow-up investigation by speaking to some witnesses, correct?
Correct.
And at some point, you were also asked to go to the Brigham and Women's Hospital where the defendant was following the sheriff's department, keeping watch of her?
Correct.
Do you recall what day you went there?
I don't recall the exact date.
Okay. When you went to the Brigham and Women's Hospital, was she in her own room or was she in like a open area?
She was in her own room.
When you were there on watch, did you go into the room or were you outside the room?
Outside the room.
And as far as your memory of whether anyone else besides medical staff went in there, at any point when you were there at the Brigham Hospital, did you observe another individual come in to visit with her or meet with her?
Yes.
And were you advised that that person was coming in?
Yes.
And were you advised that that person was allowed in with a court order?
Yes.
Okay. When the person went in, did you know if it was an attorney, a doctor, somebody else?
It was not an attorney. It wasn't a doctor. It was, I believe, a psychiatrist.
And when that person went into the room, did you go in the room as well?
No.
And where did you stay?
Outside the room.
And when this man went into the room, did he leave the door open or close the door?
I believe it was closed.
And when he came out, did he speak with you?
I don't recall.
Okay. But as far as you knew at that time period, that person was permitted to be in there and could close the door?
Correct.
And you don't know what was said or what was done in that room?
No. No.
Thank you.
Mr. Reddington.
So your position was as a sergeant for the state police on these dates that you testified to?
No, sir. At the time, I was a trooper.
Trooper?
Yes, sir.
You were assigned to the district attorney's office?
Yes, sir.
It would be the Plymouth County DA's office, meaning these prosecutors here, right?
Correct, sir.
Actually, you have an office in their office, right?
Correct, sir.
You have to call me, sir. So on the first time you got involved with this case was on the evening of, was it the 24th or the 23rd?
Tuesday. I think it was the 24th.
Okay. And do you recall what time it was that you went there?
To the South Shore Hospital?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Approximately 7:30 p.m.
Now, at that point, you had known, obviously, that this was a major investigation involving the death of two children and one serious injury to another child. Is that correct?
Correct.
The media was absolutely insane all over the location of the house and in the hospitals and everywhere. Isn't that right?
I recall media at the house. I'm not sure about the hospital stuff.
So. Okay. It was a fairly horrific and largely attended to, if you will, event. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Lindsay was, when you went to the South Shore Hospital, that's where you saw her before she was transferred to the Brigham and Women's, right?
Yes.
When you went in to see her at the South Shore Hospital, she was in the emergency room, right?
Yes.
Would you agree with me that she was pretty well, she had the intubation tube in her mouth, she had tape on her face, she had her arms all taped up and wires and tubes and everything else, right?
Yes.
And it was a very confusing and quite frankly shocking sight to walk into that room and see her there in that condition, right?
Yes.
And you, about your duty, collected clothing in her wedding band, correct?
Yes.
And you went through all that with the items you seized, and you introduced those into evidence and noted what the government said appears to be stains, but it was blood on her clothing. Is that right?
I would say, yeah.
In your experience?
Yes.
Okay. Any shoes? Did she have any shoes, sneakers, slippers, anything like that?
I don't recall shoes. I think two black socks, but I don't recall shoes.
Right. And if there were shoes on her person or brought to the hospital, the odds are that when they saved the clothing, they would have saved the shoes as well, right?
Yes.
So you took the clothing, and then you went to the Boston Children's Hospital, right?
Yes.
Then after you left the Boston Children's Hospital, you went back to the house and then assisted in the search of the property with a search warrant?
Yes.
And were you the lead investigator at that point, or were you one of the guys just searching?
I was not the lead investigator.
But there was a court order, search warrant, right?
Yes.
And you, meaning collectively you, knew that you had a search warrant that authorized a search for a number of items, including medications or pills or pill bottles, right?
Yes.
I don't have to grab this and ask if you saw this. You didn't see that, did you?
I did not recall seeing that, sir.
You don't know what, if anything, was inside that item, right?
I don't know.
And counsel asked you whether or not it's a collaborative effort on the part of the detective units and that you all collaborate and work together. Can you explain that? Do you report to each other? Do you keep each other advised as to what you get for evidence?
Yeah, so when we go into a house, we're not familiar with the layout. We'll walk the house and figure out where bedrooms are located, and then essentially we kind of just break up into teams, if you will, and search the residence. As evidence is located, and at that time, as the evidence officer, I would be alerted that, hey, there's evidence here. We're going to document and collect it.
Okay. And you videotape the scene and you take photographs of the areas, the different rooms, right?
I do not, but crime scene does.
But you were in the house and you were able to observe the rooms. You could see all sorts of wall hangings and paintings and fingerprints and handprints and all that stuff on the wall, right?
Yes.
Downstairs, you saw in the basement or the finished basement that there was an area that was an office or appeared to be an office. Is that correct?
I don't recall the exact layout of the basement.
Do you remember that items were seized from the basement, like a Mac Pro laptop, something like I have right here? There were two of them that were seized. You remember that?
Yes.
And from your investigation, you're aware that those would have been Pat Clancy's laptops, his business and personal laptop, correct?
At the time, I'm not sure who the laptops belonged to, but I know they were collected.
Okay. And how about Lindsay Clancy's, her cell phone? Was that seized, if you know?
I believe that was seized from the master bedroom.
From the master bedroom. And do you remember, was it located on the bed?
There was a phone located on the bed. I think there was another phone located in a dresser drawer. I'm not sure which phone was what, though.
All right. So both of those phones, regardless which one was what, did either one of them have blood on them?
I don't recall.
But if you guys were seizing the items and the property, such as the cell phone that had blood on it, in your experience, you probably would have remembered that, right?
Correct.
And you don't remember that?
I don't.
Okay. You did notice a lot of blood on the floor and on the walls, on the mirror and the window ledge and that area. Is that there?
I recall blood on the floor by the mirror and then blood on the floor going towards that back right window.
Okay. At no time did you ever come across or discover a, Apple Watch, right?
No, sir.
And after you all concluded your search of the home, and how long did that take? A couple of hours?
Probably. I don't recall the exact time we concluded.
Okay. The next thing you did was to go to the Brigham and Women's Hospital. Is that right?
After the search warrant?
Yeah, she had asked you a question about Brigham and Women's. I mean, did you do something else in between? I don't know.
I don't recall exactly what I did after the search warrant, but at some point I did go to the Brigham.
Okay. Can you tell us when you went to the Brigham?
I don't recall the exact date.
So whatever date you went to the Brigham, you went there for what purpose?
she would transfer to that facility, and it was to maintain custody of her at that point.
So you were going to maintain custody of her?
So the sheriffs, I believed,
right,
had custody of her, and then our unit was tasked to facilitate providing coverage over the next couple of days.
Right, and she was actually in the bed with, all again, tubes and all sorts of things coming out of her body when you saw her, right?
Yeah, she was in the hospital bed.
And she was in an emergency room. It was a little small room with a lot of machines in it that took up a lot of space, right?
I don't think she was in the emergency room. She was in one of the floors.
One of the floor rooms, but it was an intensive care unit, right?
I believe it could have been the surgical intensive care unit.
Surgical intensive care. And when you went there to facilitate custody, who were you facilitating custody for? The DA's office?
Yes, essentially.
Okay. And whatever, do you remember how many days, was it like 2 days, a week, 2 weeks after the incident that brought you to the house in Duxbury? Do you recall how long it was before you went to the hospital to maintain custody, facilitate?
I don't recall how many days, maybe two or three. I'm not sure the exact count.
All right. So she had been transferred out of South Shore Hospital. She was transferred to Brigham and Women's Hospital. You went to Brigham and Women's Hospital. I imagine you had to go through security to get in there, right? Well, your badge, right?
At some point, yeah, we were probably assisted with security to get
right
there.
Well, you know that nobody could get access to Lindsay Clancy in that hospital, and I mean nobody, right?
Correct.
And this went on for day after day after day, to your knowledge, facilitating, right?
Correct.
Her parents couldn't get in to see her, correct?
I don't believe so.
She had an attorney that had difficulty, not me, but another guy that had difficulty getting in to see her. Isn't that right?
I'm not aware of that difficulty.
I had to get a court order to get a doctor in there to see her, didn't I?
Yes, it was a court order.
And when I got the court order, a doctor came in and met with Lindsay pursuant to that judge's order, and that was Paul Zeisel, correct?
I believe that's the name. I'm not sure if he was a doctor, but I believe that was the gentleman that came on the court order.
Okay, because in your direct you said that he was not a doctor, but he was a psychiatrist. So, I mean, it's just you knew that he had something to do with head doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, something like that.
Correct.
Okay. Did he have to clear it with you to get into the room?
He checked in with myself and the other trooper. We were advised that he was coming in to let him in on the court order.
All right. Now, I wasn't there on that occasion, right?
No.
And when Dr. Zeisel, or whoever it was, went into the room to see her, it's your memory that he was allowed to shut the door. Is that correct?
I believe he shut the door.
Now, you were involved in this investigation pretty intensely, working with the DA's office, right?
Correct.
Isn't it fair to say that one of the contentions of the district attorneys is that Paul Zeisel, my doctor, that I got a court order to get in to see her, told her to call Pat and tell him that she heard voices?
Objection.
Can I see counsel's sidebar in regards to this? All right, so members of the jury, like I said to you, I think, a couple of weeks ago, sometimes I got to talk to the lawyers for a little bit longer than it takes over here at the sidebar. So this is one of those situations. So I'm going to ask you to go back to the jury room just for a couple of minutes, I think, and we'll bring you right back in, and we'll resume with the testimony. Okay?
Court, all right. Good. No folks? On the chairs? This way, please.
Please be seated. All right. So, counsel, what we're going to do is we'll have it, just so the record's clear, the jury's out of the room at this point. We will just conduct a short voir dire on the issue that we talked about over at sidebar. So, I'll allow Mr. Reddington to ask questions at this point, and then I'll allow Commonwealth to also ask questions. Go ahead, counsel.
Okay, thank you. So you're in the hospital at Brigham and Women's, correct?
Yes.
And when you're there, with the purpose of obviously with other law officers to enforce the fact that she's in custody, Dr. Zeisel, or a doctor, came in pursuant to a court order, right?
Yes.
All right. And obviously had been cleared through security and went into the room where Lindsay was laying on the bed, right?
Yes.
You don't know, or you don't recall, if he closed the door or if he kept the door open or if it was half open. You just don't remember, right?
Yes.
Okay. Would you agree with me that in the course of preparing this case for trial, that you have worked and collaborated with the prosecutors, the two district attorneys, correct?
Yes.
And you guys would talk about theories of the case and evidence that they want you to run down, perhaps as an investigator or try to obtain, or interviews and things of that nature, right?
Yes.
And one of the theories that they had indicated to you is that Patrick Clancy had indicated to the investigators and to the grand jury, I believe, that Lindsay called him from the hospital, right?
I recall that.
And that Lindsay used that doctor's cell phone to call him from the hospital, right?
Yes.
And they basically had a theory that they wanted to run with, that Zeisel told her, Lindsay, to say that she heard voices, right?
I don't know if it's a theory or not. I just recall that conversation at some point.
Okay. So when was the conversation?
I don't recall exactly when.
Do you remember where the conversation was?
No.
You don't? Okay.
I'm assuming at the office. I just don't recall specifically where.
And who was it you were talking to?
Probably could have been one of the troopers in the office working the case.
One of the troopers? Is it McGilligan?
Probably. He's the case officer, so I imagine it probably would have been him, sir.
Probably could have been him.
Yeah.
About any of the prosecutors? You talked to the DAs about that?
I don't recall specifically speaking to a prosecutor about this.
Well, how about not necessarily specifically, but do you have any memory of talking to the prosecutor about, quote, this, end quote?
No.
So what is it that your memory is that the trooper, whoever it may have been, or the investigator for the state police may have been, what did that person tell you?
That at some point when Lindsay was in the hospital with the doctor and the court order, that she made a phone call to Patrick and they discussed circumstances of the case, and then he was interviewed later on and communicated this phone call to, I believe, Trooper McGilligan.
And what did McGilligan tell you about the conversation? What the theory or the understanding was that
during the conversation, Lindsay communicated to Patrick that she had heard voices in her head.
And there was also the conversation regarding the psychologist is basically the one that planted that idea in her head, right?
The conversation between Trooper McGilligan and I?
Yeah.
I don't recall that specifically. I just recall the facts that were communicated to me that there was a phone call between Lindsay and Patrick.
Okay, you already said that. I know, and I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off, but let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
What I'm asking you are voices. You know what that means when someone hears voices, right?
Yes.
You may not hear voices. I may not hear voices, but some people might hear voices, right?
Yeah.
That was discussed with McGilligan, wasn't it?
Yes.
And what is it that he discussed with you about Lindsay hearing voices?
That's what she had told Patrick on the phone call, that she heard voices.
And when she told Patrick that she heard that on the phone call, the prosecution determined that it was Zeisel, or whoever that doctor was, you don't recall, that told her to say that for some type of a defense, right?
I don't know what the prosecution determined. All I can say is that's what I recall, the conversation between Lindsay and Patrick.
Okay. About when
the voices.
The voice.
Yeah.
And the conversation also included the fact that it was the psychologist that planted that idea in her mind. That's the theory, isn't it?
That would be the theory, but I don't recall having
that. Wait. Your answer is that would be the theory, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Agreeing with you that that's okay. What was discussed.
All right. And this would be you and is it McElligan?
McElligan.
McElligan.
Yes, sir.
And you're unable to assist us, though, with any of the detail. You do recall that there was a conversation about that.
Correct.
And in the conversation, it was about the conversation that Lindsay had with her husband indicating about voices, right?
Correct.
Using the psychologist's cell phone, right?
Correct.
And there was an indication that the psychologist told her to basically say that. You just told us, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Attorney Buckingham.
Sergeant Lawler, at the time that you were at the Brigham Hospital and at the time the doctor came in, you didn't know anything about a theory of the case, correct?
No.
And you didn't know or overhear anything in outside that room about conversations between the doctor and the defendant, did you?
Correct.
And you indicated that you never had a conversation with the prosecution about their theory of the case, did you?
Did not.
So anything that you recall was simply conversation with another trooper in the unit.
Correct.
And as you sit here in your testimony today and testify about your memory of that particular night,
mm-hmm.
is anything about that conversation with Sergeant McElligan guiding your testimony?
No.
Have you changed, or has your memory changed as to that incident after you had this conversation with Trooper McElligan?
No.
Sergeant McElligan. And in fact, you don't know anything about whether there's any evidence about Dr. Zeisel giving or prompting the defendant to have that conversation with her husband, do you?
No.
All you know factually is what came out of the investigation from what Patrick said the call was and who he said the call was from and how the call occurred, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
So, if I may, Judge?
Yeah, please.
So basically, my contention is that you're obviously up here testifying as honestly as you can. It's pretty apparent, right?
Yes.
And you're very consistent with your oath, and you understand that it's important. And you're trying to, it may be difficult, but you're trying to explain what your memory is about conversation with the lead investigator, McElligan, right? I mean, you're trying to tell us what your memory is, right?
Yes.
So your testimony pertains to your conversation with the lead investigator, McElligan. It's got nothing to do with the fact that you don't recall this or you don't recall that. What you've testified to is for the judge to consider, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I had.
All right. Why don't we do this? I'm going to take about a 10-minute break at this point.
Okay.
And we'll come back out and we will resume cross-examination.
Okay.
Court, all rise. All right, please.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.